Welcome to Spiritual Life Week. I encourage you to take in as much as possible. It's 3 days. It's a time of soul care, a time of retreat, a time of listening to God and responding to God's grace. Donna and Conrad Mast are speakers, and they will be introduced a little bit later. But I understand they will also be helping us into some of their own stories. So we'll hold those stories along with our stories, with God's gift of grace, as we listen and as we respond. So today, begin the Crossing Bridges. I just love the title, Crossing Bridges You'd Rather Burn. So I'm really looking forward to what I'm not supposed to be burning as we go. Places in ministry that you're not sure you want to go, and that I understand a little bit better. Pray with me a moment. Lord, as we move through this week, we open our hearts, minds, our whole beings to be aware of your presence and what you are inviting us to. Thank you for the gift of this opportunity where we as a community can deepen our awareness each day. May your blessing be upon us. May what we hear be rooted deeply within us so that we may follow and cross those bridges that you are inviting us to because of the exuberant love in Jesus Christ. And we pray. Amen.
O Lord, you have searched me and known me.
You know when I sit down and when I rise up.
You discern my thoughts from far away.
You search out my path and my lying down.
And are acquainted with all my ways.
Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely.
You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me.
It is so high that I cannot attain it.
Where can I go from your spirit?
Or where can I flee from your presence?
If I ascend to heaven, you are there.
If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there.
If I take the wings of the morning
and settle at the limits of the sea,
even there your hand shall lead me.
And your right hand shall hold me fast.
And if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night.
Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day.
For darkness is as light to you.
You knit me together in my mother's womb.
I praise you.
For I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Wonderful are your works.
That I know very well.
My frame was not hidden from you.
When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth,
your eyes beheld my unformed substance.
In your book were written
all the days that were formed for me,
when none of them has yet existed.
How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God.
How vast is the sum of them.
I try to count them. They are more than the sand.
I come to the end. I am still with you.
Oh, that you would kill the wicked, O God.
And that the bloodthirsty would depart from me.
Those who speak of you maliciously.
And lift themselves up against you for evil.
Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord?
And do I not loathe those who rise up against you?
I hate them with perfect hatred.
I count them my enemies.
Search me, O God, and know my heart.
Test me and know my thoughts.
See if there is any wicked way in me.
And lead me in the way everlasting.
Romans 12, 1 to 5. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another.
From Genesis 32, Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved."
It's my privilege to introduce our Spiritual Life Week speakers. It's a joy to be able to fulfill this role. I'm going to begin by reading what I think, Kevin, you probably wrote in some of our material, and then make a few comments about these two individuals and this couple that have come to among us. Donna and Conrad are 1997 graduates of Eastern Mennonite Seminary, so they're alumni of this institution, and that's part of the joy of welcoming them back. Presently, Donna is the conference minister for Allegheny Mennonite Conference. That is one of, I think, 21 Mennonite conferences. Donna's shaking her head. Allegheny Mennonite Conference is, primarily in West Virginia, but with some outlying congregations geographically, right? Conrad is currently the pastor of Scottsdale Mennonite Church in Scottsdale, Pennsylvania. Scottsdale is located southeast of Pittsburgh. Now, I'm going to venture out here a little bit in terms of your service prior to that. When you left seminary, you co-pastored at Kingview Mennonite Church, also in Scott, Pennsylvania, and then at some point helped the two congregations, two Mennonite congregations in Scottsdale, come together into one. I imagine you might at some point talk about this, but if not, feel free to ask them how that experience unfolded. It's a pastoral responsibility that probably very few people are engaged in their pastoral, but you faced that early on. Donna and Conrad are the parents of three adult daughters, Katie, who lives in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Anna and Rachel, who both currently live in Goshen, Indiana. I remember Donna and Conrad when I first met you with your three daughters. I remember the very spot. It was in the hallway outside the administrative suite, one floor down. I think it was Don Yoder who introduced me to your family. And he gave me the names of your three daughters, and in my mind I was saying, how am I going to remember the names of these three girls? Katie, Anna, and Rachel. And I created a mnemonic device on the spot, CAR. K-A-R. Don and Conrad's daughters are a car. And in that order. So whenever in subsequent years when I have to kind of recall names and get them lined up, that device is there to help me. One of the privileges, and Dorothy Jean shared in this, during the entire time that Donna and Conrad were students here, we were part of a small group at Community Mennonite Church. And there are many memories, very good and positive memories of that time together in a small group. Words to describe Donna and Conrad, and here I'm going to speak about them together. The words that come to mind for me, the first word was affirming. I experienced you as very affirming people. You're both caring, deeply caring individuals. Attentive. You both know how to pay attention, and that's a good thing, to attend in ministry. And finally, I would say about you as a couple, you're just fun to be with. It's just fun to be together with you. I did ask them this morning, when they're not doing the church thing, what do they do to care for themselves apart from ministry? Conrad answered first and very quickly. You've evidently answered this question before. His answer was music, motorcycles, and mud. Now, mud interpreted references gardening, but I love the alliteration. Then I turned to Donna, and she started by saying morning walks. And then she paused, and I thought, is she going to continue on this alliteration theme as well? But she departed. The second thing she said was that she enjoys doing crossword puzzles. And the final thing was that she recently went on a silent retreat and found that to be very life-giving. Donna and Conrad, we welcome you in our midst. Welcome back. We look forward to how the Spirit will use you in our midst. Bless you as you share with us.
It is good to be back. It is very comforting. I was recognizing this morning. It is very comforting to have seminary professors who, when I first came here, I was in awe and was a bit nervous about interacting with them. These professors who have become friends. It was wonderful to have them be an integral part of the worship service this morning. So thank you. And yes, we probably talk a little bit about what it meant to merge two congregations, and I will just say at this point that that is not a bridge to cross lightly. It was tough work, and that's all I'll say about it for now. Neither Conrad nor I can remember ever preaching a sermon about the story of Jacob. So Jacob was probably remembering the wrong that he had done his brother. And I'm certain that this would lead to some pretty heavy-duty introspection. Introspection for Jacob about who the man he was or wasn't. His father had blessed him. God had blessed him. But how could he possibly deserve those blessings after what he'd done? Well, he didn't deserve them. Do any of us deserve God's blessings? And now his brother is coming with every right to have harbored a grudge all these years, and he's coming with 400 men, for heaven's sake. Certainly, Jacob is wrestling. And when the wrestling match is over, Jacob believes he has seen God face to face. He believes he has been wrestling with God. When we have those inner wrestlings, are we not, in a sense, wrestling with God? After all, Psalm 139 reminds us that it is God who knit us together in our mother's womb. God created us and knows us intimately, even better than we know ourselves. So when we wrestle with ourselves, there's an underlying reality that we question. God, it is you who made me. Why did you make me like this? Fallible, needy, imperfect, human. I've had such wrestlings. In fact, the bridge that I most don't want to cross to myself is found in the underbelly of the Romans passage that was read this morning. Romans 12, verse 3, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." The underbelly of this verse is not thinking highly enough of yourself. And this is where I can get caught up. And I wrestle with it time and time and time again. This leads to a failure to be a good steward of myself, failing to properly care for myself, this wonderful part of God's creation. And it also leads to a reluctance to use the gifts that God has poured into me. Oh, I can make all kinds of excuses. I'm not wise enough. I'm not intellectual enough. I'm not compassionate enough. I'm not strong enough to enter into whatever particular ministry is at hand that God is inviting me to enter. And when I'm thinking like that, I am not trusting God or allowing God to work through me in the way that God intends. I've kept this quote from Nelson desk for years now. It goes like this: "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that almost frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? Are a child of God. Your playing small doesn't serve the world. There is nothing enlightening about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give people permission to do the same. As we are liberating our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others." This is a reminder to me to think highly enough of myself, with sober judgment, of course, but to value myself as God values me. Then I can trust God to work through me. It is a struggle, that bridge to self, for it is when we're in the middle of that bridge that we must face the fears within. When we are willing to cross the bridge and we honestly face our fears, then we can allow God to heal us, which I believe is God's desire all along. Jacob wrestled. When the wrestling was over, he had received a new name. No longer was he Jacob, in supplanter or heel holder. Now he was Israel, meaning God prevails. This was a struggle that cost him something. He acquired a limp as a result of the wrestling, but the name change also suggests that he acquired a new character. No longer working alone, now he is a man who with God.
We're doing a tag team with you. Using the same passages, a little different emphasis. You go into ministry with one resource, besides God, walking with you. It's a resource you carry in. It's you. All this training we go through in these years of seminary, the studies, the deep knowledge, the hours spent behind the books. When it comes down to it, you enter into ministry with yourself, basically, in tow. That's you can't carry your library. You can't carry that computer. You have to walk into it. And at various times, you'll find yourself being encountered with things you probably didn't want to face about your own attitudes toward others, oft challenged, and in the process of carrying out ministry, transformed by the encounter. Like Jacob, you often find yourself stripped of everything that was important. Your wealth, your name, your family connections, all have been shattered by things you have done, and you're left coming back with all this, and it has to be set aside, and yet you go in. At least you get a blessing from God. That's at least you can ask for going into it, but there's nothing else going in there. Found myself struggling with some of the attitudes. You'll be transformed in the course of ministry. You might feel ready once you leave the doors of this place, and you'll find out that many of those crutches, those props, those things you counted on to get through life are taken away as you conduct yourself in ministry. After all your preparations, development, and growth in this place, you're still going to find yourself walking out there and wrestling with some stuff that's intractable, things you did not want to face. A lot of it will uncover pieces about yourself and attitudes that you held. You might have known you held them. You might have suppressed them. They will surface in unusual ways in ministry. God is preparing you for the next stage. And I just leave you with that. God is blessing you with what is occurring today for the next stage. A journey with God. Wrestling with self all along the way, and finding yourself transformed, able to speak to people, situations that you would just have soon walked away from if you had really known what was coming.
Let's pray together.
Holy God, you know all about me.
You know all about me. You know all about us. You know how I feel. When I'm happy or sad, you know what I say.
When I'm good or rude,
you know what I do. When I'm good or bad. Thank you, God, for knowing all about me and still loving me. Amen.
Would you stand to receive the benediction? God is transforming us, transforming you, preparing you for whatever lays ahead, making you good, pleasing, and complete.